There was once a man who lived in a desert, and he really hated living in the desert. Every day he'd sit in his chair looking out the window, and as far as he could see to the horizon, there was just sand and heat and flies and more sand and more heat. And he was very thirsty because there was no water. You know, and this was gradually driving him crazy as he would just sit there every day looking at how dry it was and how dry his mouth was getting. And so this one day he came up with a plan. He had no water, but at least he could pretend there was water. So he got a big sheet of cardboard, painted a waterfall on it, and stuck it outside his window. So he'd now sit in his chair and look at water, and he felt better for a while. Next day, he woke up feeling a bit thirsty. He thought, it's not enough. It needs to be more. So he painted a big pond that the waterfall flowed into. And that made him very content, and he settled back into his chair. But each day, it kind of got worse, and he became more aware of how dry it was. And so this painting outside his house became more elaborate as he started to paint this great rainforest and rain coming through the trees. And then eventually he thought he needed to be able to look up when he went outside. Instead of just seeing blue sky without any clouds, he painted this giant storm. You know, and so it became ludicrous. You know, his house became covered by this dome of pictures, this complete fantasy world where every day he'd walk around believing that he was surrounded by fluid. And everywhere he looked, there was liquid. And he kind of felt content. But the problem was that the one day when this giant water tanker got lost and happened to drive straight past his house, he didn't see it because his house was so covered by these pictures of water that he wasn't actually able to see his salvation that had come through the desert. Now, it's a completely ridiculous story, as I often tell. But I think it, in some way, describes our society. And particularly, I think, Christianity in our society. All afternoon, I was reading these readings. This great expectation that our Savior comes. And the thing that kept coming back to me was, I don't think we actually want Him to come. I don't think we're actually aware of our thirst. You know, we're a lot like this man in the desert. That when we actually stop, we're aware that there is a deep loneliness. We're aware that there is a deep dissatisfaction with our life, with our world. We're aware that we're weak and helpless. We don't like that. We're aware that we're afraid, that there's so much uncertainty in our world. And so the thing we do is we find whatever's close at hand to try and block that out of our existence. You know, so we go and go shopping. A bit of retail therapy cures everything. Makes us forget that we're lonely. We're now fashionable and popular. You know, we pick up our iPhone and start tapping away, playing hours and hours of games. Just fill the time. Or we stick the earphones in and just fill our life with noise. Or we just fill our schedule with thousands of things so that there is just no time to stop. No time to stop and realize that we're surrounded by a desert because we don't like that idea. You know, we'll fill our lives with all these things that are an imitation of water. You know, an imitation of the thing that's going to fill that thirst. You know, whether it's entertainment, whether it's alcohol, you know, whether it's just entering into a fantasy world, you know, mindless hours of television and internet and Facebook, you know, all these things to try and live a different reality, create a different identity of who we actually are. Yeah, I think particularly the internet, where we can create this persona where I am amazingly strong and all together and everyone should be like me. And I never have to stop and face the reality. You know, this sort of haunting echo in my heart that really I feel very inadequate. Really, I don't know what my life's about at all. Really, I am very lonely. And so we never thirst. And when we get to this time of Advent where our Savior comes, we're completely disinterested. You know, sure, we sing the Christmas carols. Sure, we kind of go along and do the whole Christmas thing. But do we ever really understand what is happening? Our hearts never realize who it is who is coming amongst us, because we never stop and realize the need that Christ has come to fill. You know, we've spent so much time distracting ourselves and trying to block out all of this uncomfortable reality that when Christ comes, we miss the point. How can we rejoice over someone who's coming to heal us if we spend our whole life trying to block out the pain? How can we rejoice in the love that Christ brings when we're convinced that we don't need it? How can we rejoice in this joy, this life, when we've surrounded ourselves with so much noise that we cannot even hear Christ crying out for us? This is a very strange season. You know, it's a season of stripping away. The way the church talks about Advent is that this is a time when we stop and look at the reality of who we are. We get rid of the sin. You know, we understand that part of it. But we also strip away the noise and look at who we are as human beings. We look square in the face the reality that human beings are intrinsically lonely. No matter what you do, no matter how many friends you have on Facebook, you will always be lonely. There will always be this thing in your heart crying out for some sort of communion, because that's the way God made us. And that is why God comes to us, to fill this yearning. You are always going to feel weak and inadequate. No matter what sort of reality you try and create of your life, no matter how much you try and push everyone else down in your workplace, you'll still wake up in the morning feeling terribly inadequate, because that's what human beings are. But when we actually stop and acknowledge this, we suddenly realize that this is why Christ has come. That, as it says in the first reading, he would strengthen our weary hands, steady our trembling knees. He would say to all of our faint hearts, courage, do not be afraid, because God is with us. We need to know our need before we can rejoice in the one who comes. Otherwise, Christ will never really enter into our hearts. We'll simply welcome Christ and add him to all the other distractions, file him away with all the other noise. Yet what Christ wants is to take over our life. He wants us to encounter this love. He wants us to enter into a relationship that will transform us. He wants us to be aware of what is in the depths of our heart, so that in that place we can encounter him. If we spend our whole life running from the truth of who we are, we will never understand why Christ has come amongst us. Some years ago, Pope Benedict strongly encouraged the church to fast during Advent. It's very difficult to fast because this is when all the Christmas parties are on and you're eating far too much already. But the interesting thing is, Benedict said he wanted the church to fast from noise. He wanted the church to fast from busyness. You know, strip away all of the craziness of this time. And spend this next 2 weeks in that place of silence and see what comes up in your heart. You know, 2 weeks without TV is not going to kill you. 2 weeks without the internet won't kill you either. In fact, these things may actually start to bring life to you. Take this as a challenge from the Pope. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio. Just don't log on to your Facebook account, all the other internet distractions. Spend some time in the silence. Spend some time in that very awkward place where you realize how alone you are, where you realize how inadequate you feel, maybe how afraid you are of having to pray and sit before the Lord. Rather than this being a terrifying thing, this is actually the place of encounter. When we actually stop and realize who we truly are as human beings, that is when we can discover who Christ truly is. And this is when our hearts will start to cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come and fill me with your love. Come and fill me with your strength. Come and enter into my brokenness, into those areas of pain which I've spent so long trying to cover up with noise." Bring yourself to a place where your heart will truly cry out for Christ to come in. So I simply put this to you as a little challenge for the next 2 weeks. Wait expectantly. Go to all the Christmas parties, eat far too much. You have my permission. But spend time in silence. Spend time just sitting and waiting and yearning for Christ to come.